If I know what it did in our mouthpiece. Father, we just thank you that we've got such a man like Ian in our midst. He's a precious, precious soul. And we respect him very much. And we want to hear you through him. Give him your power and your authority to declare your word. And may he enjoy it as much as us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. I think it is a good morning. It's been a wonderful morning. It's great to be with you this morning and just share a little bit with you. Don't worry, it won't take more than 2-3 hours. So you're okay. A while ago, I was reading a very familiar passage from Matthew. It was quite some time ago now, and I've been mulling over it for a little while, about the encounter between Jesus and the rich young ruler. It'll be very familiar to, I'm sure, to most, if not all of you. I'll just remind you of the few verses in Matthew. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honour your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. As I say, a very familiar passage. Perhaps about money and wealth, for he had great possessions. But what struck me for the first time, I must have read that passage dozens of times, but what struck me for the first time that hadn't before was the choice of the commandments Jesus asked the man about. The 6 commandments he quoted all relate to our relationships with one another. And in the second group within the 10 commandments. Interestingly, Jesus didn't refer at all to any of the first 4 commandments that refer to our relationship with God. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything in heaven above or in earth beneath," and so on. "You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, 6 days you shall labour," and so on. He didn't mention or ask about any of those. You think Jesus forgot them? We've just had an earthquake on the video, people. So you're okay, the church is still standing, you're all right. Anybody watching online, it's okay. You're still here. Did Jesus forget these? Shouldn't think so. Did he feel that they weren't important? Well, we know that's not the case. Another familiar passage from Mark reads, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. So here Jesus clearly explains the most important commandment, which he summarised and which he expects to be written on our hearts. So why did Jesus not mention the first four commandments to the rich young ruler, or even summarise them as one commandment like he did with the scribes and Pharisees in that passage from Mark? Well, scripture doesn't tell us. Perhaps he could have anticipated the young man's reply, namely that he'd also kept those commandments. But instead of including the first four commandments in his list, Jesus does something different. He gives the man a fantastic opportunity. Come, sell all you have and follow me. This was the opportunity of a lifetime, but also a test. What was the young man's priority? Where did his priorities lie? If his relationship with God was his first priority, and he did indeed love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, then he would have done as Jesus asked. He would have sold all he had, and he would have followed Jesus. Unfortunately, the man declined the opportunity and went away sad. He wanted, in some senses, to follow Jesus. He wanted to do the right thing, but it wasn't a high enough priority for him. He was embroiled in worldly affairs and did not have a relationship with God that put God first in his life. God was not his focus, but in his particular case, his money and possessions were his priority and his point of focus. He was not prepared to give these up and put God first. So what? How does that relate to us? Well, we may not be rich and have many possessions, but we can still give other things our first priority, ahead of our relationship with God through Jesus. This is a challenge to each one of us. In Revelation, in the letters to the seven churches, Jesus warns the church in Ephesus to return to their first love. Interestingly, that topic came up in our prayer meeting this morning. Jesus' letter says, to the angel in the church of Ephesus, write these things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, that's Jesus, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labour, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have laboured for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Look at that list of praise from Jesus. Their works, labours, patience, hatred of evil, discernment, perseverance, endurance, for Jesus' sake. It's all pretty impressive stuff. I don't think we'd do too badly if we had a report card like that. Yet Jesus has one thing against them. They have left their first love. They need to repent and return to their first love, putting God first, as the number one priority in their lives. All the other good things that they are doing and are recognized are secondary to this. Remember Jesus' first commandment. The first of all the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first commandment. So what does it mean to put God first? Well, it's the same as with anyone or anything else that we want to put first in our lives. We spend time, we give of our resources, we seek to understand and know the other person, and we seek to fulfill their desires. So spend time with God. Talk to God through prayer, get to know him through studying his word. Give reverence and awe to who he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And worship him continually in all we do by doing it for him. Truly, everything we do in life as Christians should be done to honour God. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Keeping God in mind with every choice we make makes him the priority, no matter what responsibility we're fulfilling. Then we will witness God and be a witness to others of God in all circumstances and responsibilities. Why should we do this? Why? Well, let's be clear of one thing. Belief and trust in Christ, his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, accepting God's grace, is the route to salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not works that anyone should boast. Salvation is not about what we do. But putting God is an ongoing process and relates to our sanctification, becoming more like Christ. It is an active decision, day by day, an active choice that we make throughout our lives to be obedient to him and serve him, as the verses in Ephesians that I've just read in chapter 2 continue. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The more we choose to put God first in our lives, the closer our relationship with him becomes. The closer our relationship with him becomes, the more we allow him to work in us by his Spirit. The more he works in us by his Spirit, the more like Christ we become. We gain more of his perspective, bringing peace as we understand how great God is and how small our problems are in comparison. By putting God first, making him our first love, also helps fulfill Jesus' second commandment to love our neighbours as ourselves. Because as we love God, he helps us to love others in the way that he loves them. We have his perspective and see them as he sees them. So just to finish, some suggestions on how we can put God first. What does this like for us each, look like for us each day? It's not a list of instructions. Let's be clear that we don't do this out of any sense of religious duty. We do this out of love for God. So the number one, spend time with God. As I said before, the activities and people we care about most generally get most of our time. By shifting our focus more to God, we will improve at acknowledging him all the time. The more time we spend with God, the closer our relationship will be. The same as with anyone else that knows us. Spend time in the scriptures. God's word is the first place we should go to discern how God wants us to live and learn more about him. Spend time in prayer. God longs to hear from us. Pray often about everything. We can pray silently, out loud, in English, in tongues, however the Holy Spirit leads us. But remember, prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Be attentive to God's answers. And if I can find it, this came in the prayer meeting this morning, John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. And we heard from John just this morning, from 3 Samuel. What did Samuel say? When he heard, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. God speaks to us as well as we speak to him. Thank God, worship and praise him continually. Been doing a bit of that this morning. Scripture exhorts us to give thanksgiving, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Giving thanks to God is a sign of humility and our dependence on him. We give God the order, honour and glory through thanksgiving, worship and praise, and show how much we value and revere him. Ask God how you can serve him. We need to be open to how God wants us to serve him. Remember the good works which God has prepared beforehand for us to do. Praying earnestly about God's will for our lives is so important. To learn his plans and desires for us, and may yield some surprising answers. Fasting is a good way to bring our focus towards God and away from distractions. This can be fasting from food, or certain types of food, but it can be anything that serves as a distraction from God. TV, computer games, anything else that gets in the way. Obey him always. We sung that this morning. Knowing scripture means realising God is far beyond what we can ever know or understand. God's wisdom is not man's wisdom and is far beyond what we can know. God's way is the best way and we should be obedient and follow his instructions. And the last suggestion I had was fellowship. What we're doing now. Meeting with one another is so important. We can learn so much about God from one another. None of us fully understands God. It's an obvious statement when you think about it. If we did, then we'd be God. Clearly we're not. We all have different parts of the jigsaw, different insights, different understandings, different gifts. One body, many parts. So fellowship is vital. And it's vital in many contexts, not just what we're doing now, but smaller groups, families, couples, prayer partners. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We are designed for fellowship. So remember, put God first. Time, praise, worship and thanksgiving, service, fasting, obedience, fellowship. These are all part of putting God first. We can only answer for ourselves what our relationship with God is and whether we really put God first in our lives. But don't be like the rich ruler and miss out on the opportunity of a lifetime.
Ian, may I presume that you have an engineering background? An engineering background.
Scientific.
Well, that is put that message in a perfect scientific way. He's used his skill in his profession into the church and has given us a message which is based really on putting God first. If you want to, if when you go out of this building and wonder what God's been talking about, put God first. To put God first, you'll be a better father, you'll be a better mother, you'll be a better sweetheart. There's two sweethearts over there. Get married shortly. Put God first. And you'll be a husband in a million. Put God first, you lady, and you'll be a wife in a million. Put God first. Alice has been, Alice has had her problems, but she's going to trust in God because he has overcome the world. And we know from Peter that we're so close to God that he's in us and we're in him. And also we're in one another. We are in one body and we want to learn to love each other in that way. Now we started our prayer meeting as we started our meeting, the main meeting, and it was all about listening to God. And you say, you're going to go out of this building saying, I know why we're meant to come here. So Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that you do speak to us. And we thank you that we've got that middle ear, that inner ear. And thank you, Father, that we can hear you. We have a distinction above the animals. They've only got one ear. But we've got that inner ear. And we pray that we will develop it so that we will go through this next week, hearing what you have to say and obeying it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let us say to one another, the grace. The grace is for speaking to God. It's for speaking to one another. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.